The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What a night here at KeyBank Center. It's Buffalo and Chicago, and there's $71,600 in a guaranteed jackpot plus secondary Bills and Sabres prizes in this holiday raffle. This is awesome. We talked about it yesterday with our VP of Community Relations, Rich Jureller. Yep. And whether you're at the game or not, you can get in on it. Sabres.com/5050, presented by our friends at Northtown Automotive. This is a huge community effort, and it kind of dovetails with what we've been doing in the middle of the summer on Give 716 Day. And this is an awesome way to close out 2024 and benefit some amazing charitable foundations in our community for years to come. Shayna Goldman is with us right now. Hi, Shayna. How are your holidays, and what are your plans for New Year's? This is great. As you can tell, I'm still very much in the festive motif with my background here at the arena today.
You absolutely should be. Yeah, the holidays are great. I love it. It's so strange, like Hanukkah starting when Christmas ends. I'm so used to it being like the polar opposite, but it's like, all right, now like there's an excuse to keep all the decorations up and just keep vibing with it.
Absolutely.
I did see a couple of Christmas trees on the side of the road already this morning. I'm like, wait, like already, like, okay,
that's
we're
about
done
as
with
bad
Christmas.
As the early teddy bear toss in Cleveland last Sunday. Like, come on, hang on to these babies.
Premature Christmas tree toss is happening. Shayna, I want to start with this with you, because you've been very critical of the Detroit Red Wings and Derek Lalonde. Was that a premature Christmas tree toss on the side of the road is firing yesterday? Like the holiday freeze, they didn't even have practice and they announced he had gotten replaced. Like that was a bit of a weird timing to get it done.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, like Merry Christmas, you're fired. Like, all right, thanks, besties. And listen, I think this could have happened a month ago. And that's the thing. Like, now you choose to do it. I was surprised, like, the holiday freeze doesn't extend to front office changes. Like, everybody just relax for, like, a quick second. But no, I mean, I don't blame the Red Wings situation fully on Derek Lalonde, because he didn't build a roster, right? And I think we all waited all summer for the Red Wings to make a next step, especially after that Jake Wallman move, right? Here you cleared your cap space. What are you going to do? Because it shouldn't just be sign Raymond and Sider. And even if you went long-term on both of them, there's room for more. And they didn't do it. And they went for like aging veterans who have defensive flaws when their forward group is so flawed defensively. And the bottom six brings no offense that you just look at it and go, I don't get it. But with that roster, there were a lot of issues. And the offense at times this season was comparable to what they were in some of their worst years in like our data era, let's call it, since like 07, 08. You look at the defense and it is bad and it's trending in the wrong direction. And the penalty kill was a disaster and they made adjustments and it was still a disaster. And no, it was not Lalonde's penalty kill. It was Bob Bufner. But here's two coaches that have coached very, very, very good penalty kills. And yes, they had better personnel. But I think in shorthanded play, your systems can outweigh your roster. So I don't think they had a choice.
what do you think happens next, though? Like with McClellan, like Todd's had such a fascinating career, really. I mean, assistant Stanley Cup winning coach with the Wings and the San Jose years, like, holy cow, there was so much good there to reflect upon. The Edmonton years had some highs, but mostly lows. Kings years had some highs. Even last year, like, people would look back and go, wait a minute, look at his record. How did he get fired midseason, right? But they just weren't doing much. Now, I don't know how much more they're doing other than their points percentage is a little higher under Jim Hiller. But the fact of the matter was, is he did not leave L.A. with some horrific 12 games below 500 after 20 games kind of, you know what I mean? So so what do we make here of McClellan and company moving forward with this roster, which you just itemized an awful lot of?
I think it's interesting that Cam Talbot has like really supported him over the years because they worked together in Edmonton. And when he was in Edmonton, they hung him out to dry every night and Talbot was okay with it. But I guess it was an improvement from the team he left in New York. So who's to say? And he really liked playing for him in LA. So I think that's step one. I think that's a good thing for them because their goalie has to be their most important player. They are not a good enough team to not have their goalie be their most important player. And you look at shorthanded play, and I think that's the one that's going to stand out to me the most is Cam Talbot last year in LA had one of the best goals saved to have expected in shorthanded situations last year. Second to only Detroit, because Detroit's penalty kill was bad last year. The goaltenders just saved them. This year, he was one of the worst before the coaching change. So I wonder if maybe he feels that those systems are going to benefit him. And that's going to help a lot. But I think it's kind of intriguing to me, too, because you look at the Kings last year and what a well-oiled machine they were, right? And you're saying the record wasn't that bad when he got fired. And it was because they had such an incredible start to the season. Mm-hmm. And then, what was it, late December through the end of December? They became the worst defensive team in the league, right? Yep. Their rush shots against.
Remember, Talbot earned himself an all-star start or appearance and then proceeded to lose 10 straight appearances. Like, and it was, and it wasn't all on him, obviously, but that was the, like, if you were looking for a microcosm of where the Kings are at, it was like, wait a minute, this guy's going to the all-star game and he's lost 10 in a row. So, yeah,
poor guy,
they were having their issues for sure.
But maybe that speaks to the relationship, Shayna, between Todd McClellan and Cam Talbot, since he kept playing Talbot when David Rittich was playing better and should have been playing more. And then Jim Hiller comes in and all of a sudden he plays David Rittich more and they got themselves going again.
In Hiller's first game, that was, remember, I made the trip. I was there in L.A. when he shut out Connor McDavid on a Saturday night in Hiller's debut. It was wild. So,
hey, I want to stick with goalies quickly, and then I want to move on to maybe a little Sabres topic with you, Shayna. But the Ottawa Senators, probably without Anton Forsberg, who's been out for a while, and now Linus Solmark. He's not skated today. He left the last game before the break with what they said an upper body injury. I thought maybe it was a shot he took up high, but it looked like it was more like back and some soreness. Are they in trouble if Linus Solmark is not their goalie?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. You look at the beginning of the season for Ottawa, and one of the huge areas of improvement was their rush defense under Travis Green. And you see even like pairs like Shabbat and Jensen, and Shabbat has underwhelmed for some time, looked excellent. They had a little bit of a slip up there, but it seemed like they found their footing. But the biggest reason they found their footing in this, you know, last stretch of play was Linus Solmark, right? There was even that when he played the back-to-back games when he wasn't supposed to. And I think he was just below average, but they like squeaked out a win with him in that second half of the back-to-back. But in every other game that he had started, he's not just giving them quality starts. He's stealing wins at times for them. He was outstanding. I was a little bit concerned about that because he doesn't play that kind of workload normally. And I was worried, are they going to run him to the ground? I don't know if this injury is related to that. But you look at it and you go, okay, he's giving you the stability you need. And I feel like when you think about the Ottawa Senators and you go, what do they need? What do they need to be good? The word for the last, 5 years is stability. So if someone's going to give you it and it's Linus Solmark, you're a step ahead, right? Because the offense is getting better. Tim Stützle looks like a star. Brady Tkachuk is performing. You're getting goals now from Shane Pinto, who had that huge drought. The defense is coming together. So everything can start falling into place. Without Linus Solmark, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And yes, they did come out with some wins. They had, what was it? The game against Edmonton was a pretty high scoring one. But they had the offense.
6-5, I think. Or 5-4, 6-5,
Yeah, so it's like you could try to win games like that for some time. And I think that you can squeak out some wins that way. I don't think that's a sustainable strategy long term, especially, you know, they're finally in this playoff spot. Like they're going to want to hold on to it.
Keep going, Marty. You had more for her.
Okay. Well, now let's move on to the Sabres. You wrote an article on The Athletic and New York Times about Dylan Cousins. I have a question for you, and it's a this or that for you on this beautiful Friday of December. What are you more concerned about Dylan Cousins? Is offensive output or is defensive game? Because that you broke them both down in your article. So I'm like wondering, what are you more concerned about, and or what can be adjusted faster? Like what can get back on the positive in the right way?
I'm more worried about his offense. And I think that's what could be improved on first. And I think it should be. In a perfect world, every center handles a lot of defensive responsibilities, right? Most systems are drawn up that way. The center is going to take on a lot of that workload, so the wingers are a little bit more insulated. I don't think in a perfect world, every single player needs to be an ace on both ends of the ice. Can you get a player there? Yes, I think you can teach defensive structure, but I don't think you can teach offensive instincts, and I think Cousins has them. I would love to see them focus on that. Give him a good two-way winger, give him someone who brings that hard skill, and don't let him play that game, because I think it's getting away from what makes him so special, right? We're seeing him exit the zone a lot more this year, and that was something after 22-23, their centers did not do enough. It's a systematic thing that the forwards are doing it, not the defensemen now, I feel like, a little bit more. But you want it that the defensemen, I think, are exiting the zone more so he doesn't have to do it. Yep. And then in the neutral zone, he is the one that's going to get you into the offensive zone, because his best strength in that breakout year was his transition game. The biggest problem was the transition game didn't always lead to goals, right? And as the year went on, we saw that improve. That would be my focal point for him. Let him focus on that. Give him a shooter so he doesn't even have to be the shooter. Let him be that elite puck mover and then start building up the rest of his game around him. But don't take away what makes him so special.
So is Jack Quinn shooting the puck more and producing now maybe a solution to unlocking Cousins? And do these two go hand in hand?
It's tough because history says yes, right? Like, we know how good they're together in 22-23. We know they have that chemistry. In the beginning of the year, the two of them together has been crushing the Sabres offense in the worst way. So they broke them apart. If you think the Islander game is the start of something, I wouldn't break them up right now, right? Let them have a couple more games together, especially against teams like the Blackhawks, like the Blues, who are so bad defensively, and go with Peterka and go with Cousins and Quinn and see if that chemistry is there. If it's not, do not try to like make something happen there and just split them up and try to get the two of them going separately. And then maybe you can try it again together. I think in theory it works, but I do think it's a little bit heavy on the right-handed shots when you go Quinn and Cousins together. So it's not the worst thing to separate them and have a little bit of like handedness diversity up and down the lineup.
They are, of course, planning to play together tonight with no lineup changes expected for the Sabres against the Hawks based on the win over New York. And after that game and the points Cousins picked up, he's on pace for 40 points right now, which is a long ways from his 68 in 22-23. However, one thing to keep in mind, the Sabres' power play was a major down point for this previous 13 games. It has scored in consecutive games. Cousins finds himself on the second power play unit with Byram, Tuck, perhaps burgeoning Jiří Kulik, and Zach Benson. In my opinion, there's no reason that this group can't be more productive with the extra man, even as a second unit and maybe limited time. And here's the thing. In Cousins' career year, he had 18 points on the power play. He has two right now, which projects to less than six over the entire season. So if you're looking for reasons like gaps, like, well, why is he not on that pace? Just start with the power play and get right. Like, it, am I oversimplifying this?
No,
like, if he can get some touches and points here, all of a sudden he's going to feel, I know you talk about this a lot, don't you? Like, Get
the vibes. You got to get, what do we say with young players all the time, right? If you're a top five pick, you should be getting power play one time immediately, because if you start getting it going when you're a little bit more stationary, first of all, you're going to generate chemistry with some of the top players. Second of all, you're going to have confidence. And at the end of the day, this is a 23-year-old player who needs confidence, in my opinion, after the last couple of years. And I think he's getting away from his game, trying to be something he's not. If he starts scoring, he might be like, this is what I need to do. I don't need to be fighting anybody. That is fine. I can score points, and that's what I'm going to do. I think it trickles into 5-on-5 play. And I think also you're going to see him get different looks with guys like Benson, and maybe they'll be like, you know, maybe they should play together a little bit more. I think it just gives you options.
I agree. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah. and a happy new year, since we probably won't talk to you before then. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.